Well, if you will, turn in your Bibles tonight to Acts 1, verse 8. It was so good to have Paul and Christina with us. They dropped in last night, or they came by. We knew they was coming by, but they got in here, had dinner with us, and we got to talk to Zach, and that was a lot of fun. But it was good being over in China with them and to see the sincerity of their lives as they reach out to people in China. At one time, they were had to leave, and I think they were more than intimidated. But, you know, God saw them through that. And when she told me, she said, you know, we could come home now and retire. But we decided we want to go back. And I thought, man, that's dedication. Two more years. And she said, he turned 70 in 2 years. And she said, if he's still doing good, we'll go back again. And I thought, that's great. And man, missions. I love missions, and I love our missionaries. And I think we ought to do everything we can to see that they have the things that they need. And I'm so proud of our Southern Baptist Convention. I know there's probably a lot of faults in everything, but far as reaching out with missions around the world, I think the Southern Baptists are on the right page. And I thank the Lord that he's blessed me by having been a Southern Baptist and having to watch how it works and operates and supporting. And I thank the Lord for one of our boys that surrendered to missions. And I hope and pray that there's a lot more of you that surrender and go on mission trips, whether it's around the world or Africa or Haiti or right here in our home state or in our own country. It's an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener, as Pastor Richard said. He likes that, so I think I'll keep calling him Pastor Richard. And he's going to make a great pastor, I tell you, too. He's got a heart for people. If you will, look at what it says in verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for you blessing our lives. Lord, for the things that you blessed us with here. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, I pray that through the years, we can use what we have to help others and to reach others for you. And God, open this scripture up to us tonight. Lord, if there's someone here that's without Christ in their life, I pray tonight will be the night of salvation for them. Lord, if there's someone here that you're calling to missions or you're calling to do a work, Lord, show them that and realize that in their life. Lord, that they might do exactly what you want to, realizing that there's no limit on age. God, you want to use them, you'll make a way. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, it says this, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors, the Bible says, for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Someone said, every person on earth is either a missionary or we're on a mission field. Whether you know it or not, Gun Barrel City is a mission field. And whether you go out there door knocking on Monday or witnessing on Tuesday or going to Walmart, you are a missionary. If you've been born again, if you've been saved, then guess what? You are a missionary. You are a believer, and Christ has sent you on a mission of reconciliation to bring people to Him. And whether you're at your job or wherever you might be, it is your duty to be just that, living a life telling people about Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came from heaven to make missionaries for heaven. And we are His missionaries, and He has sent us onto the mission field. Now, every year we celebrate, three times a year we talk about missions and giving to missions, home, state, and Lottie Moon. Well, I believe many of us are sometimes ignorant of our responsibility. Many Christians are ignorant of their responsibility of missions and the heritage that we have as Southern Baptists to the gospel, or carrying the gospel unto all the world. We have a mission team right now in our association at the Olympics. I've been watching the Olympics. I hope you are watching. They pass by pretty quick. But I've been watching to see if I see any of our people from our association over our witnessing, but they don't seem to show people out on the streets enough. But they're out there, and they're telling people at the missionary at the Olympics about Jesus Christ. They went last year or whenever it was to Canada and in Vancouver and did that. And now they're there. I heard a pastor who a young couple had moved into town. And he said, well, why don't you, talking to the WMU director, why don't you go over there and visit those young people and tell them about what's going on at our church? And she went over there and she said something about Lottie Moon, and they didn't know what Lottie Moon was. And she come back and said, preacher, you can't believe I went to share with them people about Lottie Moon and the offerings and the things we do at Christmas. And they said, we don't know who Lottie Moon is. And he said, well, what did you tell them? She said, I told them to read their Bible and you'll find out who Lottie Moon is. Well, friends, you can't read your Bible and find out who Lottie Moon is. She's not in the Bible. But it's my prayer that we will make missionaries, we will be missionaries to all the world. We'll have a missionary heart here at First Baptist Church in Gun Barrel City. You see, it doesn't matter how big we are. It doesn't matter if we grow more than we are right now. If we're doing the work of God, sending out missionaries, giving and baptizing and making a reconciling people to Him, then God will bless us in a tremendous way. And He will bless your life in a tremendous way. It never fails me that when the ladies go out and knock on doors, that when someone receives Christ, or when someone is interested in the church, they come back all full of life and vigor and say, guess what? It never fails when somebody, Teddy went out one night, him and I don't know, Lou, I think, and they led someone to the Lord. The first thing they did was come back and tell us, guess what? We led someone to the Lord tonight. It never fails, because it is exciting when we do what Christ has asked us to do and He blesses us with a soul being saved. So yes, we are missionaries, and we need to do the work of a missionary. Why do we have a common concern for missions? Well, Jesus Christ had a concern for missions, and He commanded us here in this passage of Scripture and said, go make disciples. And folks, as Christians, we have to have a concern. It says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, it says. Now, I think about what I preached on, it's been months back. Back in 1850, the number of people on earth, they were just overwhelmed, reached 1 billion people. Well, you know, 1985, I said it reached 5 billion. Well, today, it's right at 8 billion people on the face of the earth today. It's growing at a tremendous rate. I don't know exactly how many it is, but if you look over at the world clock, you type that in on your computer and you look at the world clock and you see how many times that thing is just flipping over. Every time someone born, it just continues to flip over, and they keep the world just keeps multiplying, and it's multiplying at a tremendous rate. There's more people now than there's ever been in the state of Texas, and we are not reaching those people for Jesus Christ. So we need to have a concern for missions. And the third question I hear a lot of times, why hear a call for missions, people? Well, let me say this. The world's population, if the world's population could be compressed down, all of those 8 billion people compressed down into 100 people on the face of the earth. These are statistics. 75 of them would be uneducated, unclothed, and underfed. Can you believe that? If the world's population would just be 100 people, 37 of those people would live in a communist-dominated country. 25 would belong to the Roman or Eastern Catholic Church. 15 would be Muslims. 11 would be Hindus. 15 would be Buddhist. And only 8 would be Christians. Folks, we have to have a concern for missions. We have to have a new zeal for missions if we're ever going to reach the people on earth. Why go? God commanded it. Hudson Taylor was asked, "Do you believe the people in China will be lost if you don't go?" He said, "I believe the people are lost. That's why I go." And folks, someone said one time, "Do you believe people actually die and go to hell? How can you not if you believe the Word of God? The Word of God says they die and go to hell lost. There's no other way for salvation but through Jesus Christ. And if we don't tell them, then they will be lost." Listen to this. Romans 10:13 makes it plain, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How many of you ever heard that before? Amen. Every one of us, raise your hand. We've heard that. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But listen to what it says in verse 14. "How then shall they call on him when they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Some translations say a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, how do you think people around the world are going to hear? How do you think people in Gun Barrel are going to hear this lost if we don't go? They won't. They won't hear. Now, God has left our mission enterprise to us. He didn't leave it by chance. He left it to us. And he says, "You shall receive power." Now, I want to talk about these three things and then I'll quit. One, I want to talk about God's missionary power. "Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses," he says, "into Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth." God has given us a supernatural power. I liked what Christine said. She said, "It's difficult, they're lost. But God does the work." Folks, it's always difficult. The old devil's going to make sure that it's difficult. But you know, that's the reason Jesus Christ, he knew it was going to be tough. That's the reason he said, listen, I'm going to give you my power. You're not going to be out there alone. Richard said when he was over in Ethiopia, it's so different from being here. You can just feel the presence of Jesus Christ and the power of God in your life when you're out there and you are in total dependence upon him. You feel his power. Here we rest in our churches. We rest in the comfort of our homes. We rest in the comfort of reading the Bible, and we say, well, I believe in God's power, but in all, we're not really trusting in God's power. You see, we say we believe God can save anyone, and yet when someone says, will you go witnessing, you say, well, I'm just not sure I can. You see, it's easy to say we have God's power in our life, and yet we don't use it. But when you're over in a mission field, and there's nobody there but you and God, and you can't trust in the security of yourself, you have to trust God, and you put your faith in God, and you know what? God blesses you with that power. He gives you power to say things. He gives you the power of speech. He gives you the power of recall. You know, I can't recall half of your name sometimes. But when I was overseas and I was in the foreign country, it was like I had the whole Bible right in front of me. I could go through that Bible and I could tell stories about that Bible, and I was sitting there thinking, but I don't know that. But yet, God was opening up the scriptures to me, and you were being able to preach, and you was being able to talk like you've never talked before. And the power of God was just moving in the lives of people. That's God's power. I'd be silly to think it was all mine. It's God's work. And when God moves, folks, he says, you shall receive power. And I believe that. It's a supernatural power. Now, the thrust of missions is confronting people simply with the need of Jesus Christ in their life. It's just that simple. Folks, you need Jesus Christ, and I have Jesus Christ. I want to share him with you. That's just that simple. Now, you can't make them believe. All you can do is to share. Amen? That's what God's called you to do. Some people say, well, preacher, what if they don't accept Christ? He didn't say they had to accept Christ. He said, all you have to do is be my messengers. Go. Tell them about Jesus. He'll take care of the saving part. You just do what he's asked you. And with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, he will make a way. She said, they talked for about 6 months, I think. No one came to Jesus Christ. But yet all the time, he was in the work, winning those students, getting them interested in reading the Bible, and before long, they were coming to Christ. We don't know. We can't see today. We can't see tomorrow. All we see is right now. You don't know what 3 weeks are going to bring. You don't know what 6 months is going to bring. You just tell somebody about Jesus Christ and leave the work up to God. He'll do his work. Every Christian has available to them the power of God. If you are a born-again Christian, now you've got that power in your life. Now, God does not need your ability. Listen to me. He wants your availability. You see, I can't do anything. It's God doing it through me. And all we have to do is say, God, here I am. I'm available to you. You see, God wants you to say, here I am, Lord, use me. I want to be available to you. Now, if you have the power of God, you don't need anything else in your life. God will move in your life. Well, that's God's missionary power. Now, look what it says. There's God's not only missionary power, but his missionary people. Notice the purpose of power. You shall be witnesses of me, he says. Now, the Holy Spirit is not given for our enjoyment. It's given for our employment. We're to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. God gives us His person, His presence, and His power so that we might be witnesses for Him in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Jesus is the person of the mission. The Spirit is the power of the mission. Witnessing is His plan for the mission. And guess what? We are His people for the mission. Folks, that's what God has set for us. Heard a story, Black Paul now got a story with everything. I heard a story about a man, about Jesus going back into heaven when he ascended back into heaven, and the angel said, "Lord, how are you going to win those people to Christ?" And he says, "Well, I picked out 12 disciples. I poured my spirit into them in my life. I've told them to go into all the world and preach the word. Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of it. And I gave them my spirit." But he said, "Lord, those people are weak. Those people are just human beings. What if your plan fails? Do you have a plan B?" He says, "No, there is no plan B." Folks, we're it. Believe it or not, God says, "You're my people. Go tell others about Jesus Christ." Jesus says, "You," and I'm not pointing at a missionary, I'm pointing at you and me, "You shall be my witnesses." If you're a Christian tonight, and I pray that everyone here tonight is a born-again believer, He's talking to you just as well as He was talking to those disciples there on that day. "You are my disciples. You are my witnesses." And you cannot call yourself, folks, you cannot call yourself a Christian if you are not in the business of believing and bringing people to Jesus Christ. Now that hurts, doesn't it? For if I went around this room and asked you tonight, how many people have you led to Jesus Christ? Some of you would have to hang your head and say, "I've never won a single person to Jesus Christ." Someone asks, one of the missionaries, "Can you call yourself a Christian if you never win anyone to Christ?" And they said, "No. For God says believers shall be witnesses." Believers shall have the power of God in their life. And He's given us a commission to go tell people about Jesus. Christ alone is the only thing that can save this world. Christ alone is the only thing that can save your daughter or your son or your neighbor or your grandchild. Folks, if we care about our children, if we care about our world, we must tell people with a passion about Jesus Christ. We must let them know, no matter who they are, no matter what color they are, no matter what race they are, we must tell them. That's God's commission. He's given us His power, and we are His people. And if you want to know how God plans to reach a lost world, just look at yourself in a mirror, because you're His plan. And if you're not winning someone to Christ, if you're not going out there and telling someone about Jesus Christ, then you're not doing what He's asked you to do. Well, nobody can win everybody, but everybody can win somebody. Notice that God has called us to be witnesses. A lot of times, you know what we are? When we go out, we're judges. He hasn't called us to judge those people. He's called us to be a witness to those people. They're not all like we are. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, preacher, they're poor." Well, so what? They need Jesus. I've heard people say, "Well, they're high class." Well, so what? They need Jesus. It doesn't matter rich or poor. It doesn't matter Greek or barbarian. It doesn't matter to God. He says, "My plan is for the whole world to know Jesus Christ." Now, something else about it. God did not call me to coerce or manipulate the gospel to win someone to Jesus Christ. Amen. He simply calls us to tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. And leave the results to God. You know what? There's a lot of times we take children. Children are very easy. We take children and we talk to them like they're making them scared to death to go into hell, and they'll come to say, yes, I want to be saved and baptized. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they really accepted Christ. I don't try to tell children those kind of things. I just simply want to tell them that, you know what, God loves you, that you're a sinner, and he died for you that you can come have life. You can enjoy life. And folks, leave the results up to God. He is our sustainer. He is our strength. Now, there's God's power, and there's God's people, and then there's God's plan. Look at what it says. In his plan, you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. Now, what is that? You've probably heard it before, but one, it's our community. The first place, before we go all over the world, and we have, literally, we ought to go next door. Is the person next to you saved? Is the person next to you going to church? You ought to know that. You ought to know that. There's an old saying, the light shines the farthest and the brightest nearest home. And folks, we ought to know in our community, around us, the people that are lost, the people, if they go to church, we ought to know that. That's not being nosy. Some people say, well, preacher, you're being awful nosy. No, that's just being what God says. Go next door in this community. You know, if you're not a missionary at home, you want to do a bit of good overseas, I'll guarantee you. If you're not willing to witness right where you are, you're not going to witness over there. Someone said, if you're not a witness, a missionary at home, you're probably just a sightseer overseas. You see? D.L. Moody met a young preacher, and he said, I'm going to Africa to be a missionary. And he said, why? Why are you going to be a missionary? Do you have a heart for the people? Do you realize they're lost? Are you just going to see the country? A lot of people just go see the country. You know, we take up offerings each year for foreign missions. But you know what? We need to start right here at home. There's a lot of missions. And this church has been a blessing. This church does a whole lot more than most of you ever know to help people around here. But not only that, our community. He says, next, go to our country. After Jerusalem, he says, Judea and Samaria. Now, we haven't reached Gun Barrel yet. We're working on that. I believe the ladies on Monday, how far have y'all reached? 55%. It's not too bad, but 3 years. Folks, we need a lot more. If you're not going on Monday, if you're not going on Tuesday, you need to go. You see, you need to go. I can say, well, honestly, our visitation program, out of 400 and something people we have here on Sunday morning, there's probably not over 20 that go out. Now, that's sad, isn't it? He said, but after you reach Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, there's some close to 170 billion in our, a million in our country. I think the United States has just topped close to 200,000 or 200 million people. Folks, we're not reaching them fast enough. The reason I know that is our nation is going downward instead of upward. And then he says, not only that, go to the world. Jesus ended by saying, to the ends of the earth. Now, I want you to notice something in Acts chapter 1. I want you to know the progression of missions in Acts 1:8. It's exactly the sequence in which Acts is written. If you ever thought about that, chapters 1 through 7 is Jerusalem. They talk about Jerusalem, or they talk about the country. 8 through 12 is the Judea. And 13:28 is they're scattered to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Paul. That's interesting, isn't it? That Jesus Christ would have these words perfectly written to fit verse 1:8. I want you to go not only to Jerusalem, but to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We are to get the light to every dark corner. I don't know exactly how many unreached people groups there are, but there's still a bunch of unreached people groups. Laura and Wade probably tell you more than I can because they just come back from the mission field. But there's a lot of unreached people groups. By what I mean by unreached people groups is there's people around this world that have never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. Now, can you believe that? We think, well, why don't they look at TV? Why don't they watch him on Sunday morning? Let me tell you something. They don't have television. They don't. Can you imagine that? Living a life without a television? Why would it, you could carry them a big screen plasma over there? It would do absolutely no good. You know why? There's no electricity. There's no toilets. There's nothing in places where we've been. Folks, the only way they're going to hear about Jesus Christ is through our missionaries. People groups reaching out to the othermost parts of the world. There's a lost world out there, and they don't know. They've never heard about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says they need Jesus. And I've heard people say, well, if they've never heard of him, they won't go to hell. They will. Because Jesus is the only way. He's the word, the truth. What matters is that one day when we stand before God and God looks at us with a heartbeat from heaven and says, you know what? I knew you, First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City. I knew you would go. That'll make you smile. Because you were a mission-minded people with a heartbeat for missions. If you're not going, would you go? If you don't come on Wednesday night, make it a habit to say something about Jesus Christ to your neighbor or a lost person you come into contact with. But if you can, call Brother Bill and ask him, who can I go see this week? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for missions. We thank you that you've given us a task of reaching the whole world for Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know that there's people around here that's never heard of the gospel. There's children that are lost in our community. Lord, let us do whatever we can right here at home. But let us not just be closed into this place. Let us reach the whole world for Jesus Christ, that this church might be an outreach to the world. That one day when we stand in heaven, that we'll see many people that we've won through our efforts of mission giving, through our missionaries, through our preachers that have gone out from this church. And Lord, we'll hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, if there's someone here tonight without you, I pray that they might come to trust you as Lord and Savior. Whatever decision we need to make in our lives tonight, Lord, let us be committed to you, for it's in your precious name we ask it. Amen.